Chapter 12, Beyond Ethics. With this concluding chapter, we wish to present an important point of Christian faith that refers to human actions. People's fulfillment in this life and in eternal life is directly related to their decisions, choices, options, and actions. 12.1 Transcendence. By transcendence, we mean people's ability to go beyond their own limits. With respect to their life, we say that they transcend it by participating in immortality. With respect to their actions, people transcend them by achieving something more than the immediate and natural object of their action. Transcendence is part of human beings' nature, but at the same time, it goes beyond that. It has to do with a dynamic order, the fullness of which is not foreseen. In this way, people are transcendent by believing, and often in their faith itself, by loving and hoping. They are transcendent by choosing moral good, truth, and virtue, by using their life to serve others, and by going beyond their exclusive interests. Transcendence is not an increase of what is finite. That would simply lead to inflated, giant-sized people. Transcendence is not the desire to last forever or attain immortality through monuments, memories, and works. These may extend a person's shadow over history, but they do not really transcend because they do not go beyond the limits of time. In this context, the word immortality is often used, but it is actually a memory that also belongs to history, the way we now remember Homer, Plato, or Bach. We assert that people have a destiny that goes beyond their earthly life, and that nevertheless is rooted in their reality in this world. There is not just spatial and historical being in the world, but also human reality referred beyond this world. People transcend by being human persons, conscious, responsible, free, other-oriented, and ultimately God-oriented, being in progress, whose destiny is communion with God. We might ask whether transcendence as a message is exclusive of revelation, and whether non-religious people can give a transcendent meaning to their life and their death, at least as if they were to leave a message in a bottle, so that somehow what they believe in and found beautiful can be believed and found beautiful by those to come. 12.2 Communion with God. People's fundamental relationship with God, in Christian faith, does not focus on action as people's behavior, but on being as something received originally. It does not focus on merit, but on grace. God is the Father of all people, loving Creator, independently of whether people respond as children of God and as brothers and sisters among themselves. This, however, does not mean that God does not expect a certain kind of behavior from people. If we are children of God, then we should live and act as such. Faithfulness to truth is ultimately faithfulness to God, who is the foundation of reality and truth. The true God is not only the only God who really exists, but also the God who is the foundation of truth and comes close to us in it. Those who seek the truth seek God, and those who are faithful to the truth are faithful to God. God's word, for those who do not know God's word, is the truth, and loving God, for those who do not know Him, is loving others. Those who run away from reality, from truth, or from love, are hiding from themselves and running away from God. It is a double track by which human values put us in communion with God. First, because He is the foundation and the source of all values, such as goodness, justice, and love. And second, because these values are in people's interest and make them more human. The human condition is the wide open door that allows for communication from people to God and from God to people. It is the point of contact of the God who makes Himself human, the most human of all people. God's communication is not only through His words, but also through His works. And correspondingly, people communicate with God not just through their words, but mainly through their works. Communication with God is a communication that is so inserted in reality that people communicate with Him in everything they do, as long as what they do is something positive. And when it is not, they are communicating with God in a negative sense, in that they look for Him where He is not, or in that God is always willing to forgive. 12.3, the importance of action. In all cultures, people have discovered that their actions are relevant for attaining certain results. In this sense, we can say that human beings are essentially intelligent and active, and that one of their actions is to understand their action and give it meaning. They carry out their actions in order to obtain some concrete or immediate result. But there are other actions that they carry out with an eye to objectives that are neither concrete nor immediate. These actions do not imply a relationship of objective cause leading to a specific result. People thus find themselves naturally drawn to magic, sorcery, and superstition. Only by making a concerted effort of the intelligence do people succeed in discovering the importance of their action as liturgy and worship, and the difference between these on the one hand and magic and sorcery on the other. Liturgy and worship are directed at a higher being whom people try to know, accept, and worship. In magic and witchcraft, there is no reference to a higher being. The magical action is directly related to the desired effect, and powers are attributed to the action above and beyond its nature. It is clear that religions have always expressed themselves in people's actions. All religion is about doing something. None is merely philosophy, which also explains why all human action requires or presupposes a philosophy of which it is an expression. There is a profound relationship between being and doing, between being and what ought to be, between being a certain way and the dynamism that can lead to another way of being, which is achieved actually through action. A tenet of Christian faith is the acceptance, more than the demonstration, that all human actions, including the most insignificant, like giving a glass of water to one of the least of these, has eternal transcendence, i.e., that it is linked to people's immortality, and that we can say they are immortal, imperishable, transcendent actions. Christian faith does not give worldly actions a transcendent and eternal effect, but rather a meaning and value that transcend the time-bound and worldly. The effect is historical, but its meaning and value transcend history. Behavior is people's natural way of achieving their temporal and eternal fulfillment. In evolutionary terms as well, human beings survived thanks to their behavior. Jesus taught that God cares about people's life and behavior, that we can find him more readily in human relationships than in the temple and sacrifices, that God desires people's well-being and service to others. Jesus teaches that salvation does not come from knowledge, but from God's action and people's response. For those who do not believe in God because of problems that they have had in life, because of the lack of dialogue between faith and culture, or because of a false image of God, the path of good works and good feelings is the surest path for finding him. Even when the word they receive from God or the testimony that others give them about God strikes them as rationally unacceptable. Just as there are people who believe by hearing words and not by seeing works, there are people who believe by seeing works and not by hearing words. When people open up to others and accept them for what they are, they open up to God and accept him for what he is, in the same way that by loving and giving of themselves to others, they love and give of themselves to God. People in and of themselves, regardless of their condition, are a reference to God. Human freedom has its purpose and meaning in giving to the person and ultimately to the personal being who surpasses all people and who makes himself accessible in the person of other people. People are free to freely love moral good, truth, and all human values, but primarily to love others and God. In the exercise of their freedom, they transcend themselves. Throughout life, and particularly at the end, people sense that they must respond for it, that they are responsible to someone. By responding for themselves before others and before God, they transcend. 12.4 Biblical Morality. The behavior of the people of Israel does not derive from a reflection on human nature or natural law. It emerges from a faith and a cultural milieu. Its point of departure is not the rationality of precepts, but a covenant established in love. The Ten Commandments presuppose but also surpass natural law and a closed humanism. They set forth the style of life that God wants in his people. It is a sign of the covenant, of mutual friendship, and of having accepted God in life. When God is linked to people's being and life and wants the best for them, he wants an orderly and ethical life. The Bible asks people to resemble God not only in their being, but also in their doing. They are to follow God's paths and to act like him. People in the Bible understand human values in a derivative way. They are human because they come from God. By acting righteously, they act like God. Biblically, morality is grounded in religion, and faith is expressed in a morally lived life. The commandment thus becomes not so much a precept as a revelation of what is best for people. Obedience is an act of personal adoration. A few basic postulates of morality in the Old Testament can be pointed out. God's dominion over the world, people, and particularly the chosen people. The norm of behavior is God's will as expressed in Mosaic law. The central content of moral life is based on the sense of people. Its history, its faith, and its customs combine and form a whole. In the Old Testament, people are the center of the universe, image and likeness of God, but at the same time members of the chosen people. In the New Testament, loving God and others is the core content of Christian morality. For Jesus and for Christians, those who care for others, particularly the neediest, care for Jesus himself, and they give their actions an imperishable transcendence and make themselves worthy of eternal happiness. Doing God's will is summarized in accepting Jesus and the gospel, and all of Jesus' teaching is reduced to love. By lovingly doing God's will, people become the dwelling place of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit makes itself present as the one who makes love possible and effective. A gospel-centered way of living does not raise people to a superior level of authentic humanity. It makes them human with the humanity of God. Jesus' ethical preaching is not a summons to be heeded by those bold enough to accept the challenge. It is more of a description of the person who lives a truly human life. In groups, answer the following questions. In what sense does faith make people more human? Does all faith make people more human? Why does loving others, especially the needy, make people more human? Why does hope humanize people, or would it be more human not to have hope? True or false? If God does not exist, everything is permitted. True, false. Faith does not make human behavior good or bad. True, false. Faith is a motivation to act better. False. No one, without the help of revelation, can accede to the knowledge of what is right. True, false. Good actions, without an explicit reference to God, have no meaning. True, false. Concrete acts are insignificant, without order or relationship. They are life. True, false. Only faith justifies Christian ethical demands. True, false. Christian morality should not be judged by reason. True, false. All religions humanize people. Good actions have value, even supposing that God does not exist. God is the natural goal of good actions. False. All good actions lead to God, and not even God can hide himself from those who do good. True, false. Ethics reaches its fullness of value and meaning when life is lived out of love for God, oneself, and others. True, false. All acts of love and self-giving have their fullness in God's love and self-giving. True, false. The authentic response to God does not consist of irrational obedience to his will. True. The path by which the non-believer can find God is the practice of what is right, the search for truth, and the exercise of virtue. True, false. In Christian life, it is not possible to accept God without accepting Jesus, or to accept Jesus without accepting others, without love for others. True, false. Bibliography. Blondel, Maurice. Jaspers, Carl. Volume 10. López Barrio Mario, Fundamentos Bíblicos de la Moral Cristiana, Instituto de Ciencias Nortres, Guadalajara, Hall, 1995. A short booklet, only 20 pages, but long on content. W. A. Meeks, Los Orígenes de la Moralidad Cristiana, Los Dos Primeros Siglos, Barcelona, 1994. Presents the way Christian morality made use of non-Christian philosophies, rich in bibliography. A. Torres Queiruga, Recuperar la Creación, Salter Ronomething. Interesting book for being so extraordinarily positive. Chapter 4 is especially important. Morality and Religion, Theonomy. Schaeffler Amezaga, Xavier en Busca del Sentido de la Vida, Mexico City, Ed Trillas, 1971. A book full of content, written with freshness and without pretensions, that could only have been written by someone who was not a psychologist by profession, but by experience and by love and respect for life. J. Lafarga. Sheila Beeks, Eduard, Los Hombres Rodeados de Dinero, Sin Salamanca, 94. Critical book that addresses unresolved ecclesiastical problems. Inspiring. Umberto Eco and Carlo Maria Martini. ¿En qué creen los que no creen? Mexicaurus, 26. Short and very interesting book. It compares the secular and Christian visions on a number of ethical issues.